We went off into a... Oh, man, I can't even do it. I can't even do it. But yeah, if this woman was working in an actual ER, people would be tripping over themselves. Patients would be jumping out of the bed. I'm cured.
You're talking about Susan.
Yeah, Susan, whatever. But it's like in something that happens, especially more and more now, where like everybody is a fucking supermodel in every part.
Dr. Susan Lewis in this show is not considered a supermodel.
By who? George Clooney, the other most attractive person on earth.
It is known when you watch this show that like Dr. Carter and Dr. Ross are like hot. And then there's another doctor who's just come in on rounds and she like wears a bunch of earrings in her ears and she's really cool. She's very grunge, red lipstick. People are like, oh, she's hot. But Dr. Lewis is, as much as you're telling me that she's hot, she's considered frumpy in this show.
I'm just telling you, she's too hot to play a doctor. You know what I mean?
She's the front doctor, one. She's the one that's always in a big jersey, like, you know, half asleep on the couch in her apartment. She's like, oh, great. Says stuff like that. Oh, nice one. Oh, yeah, she's always wearing
giant jumpers to cover up her E-cup boobs bouncing around.
I mean, if anything, Carol Hathaway, she's the stunner. Like, she's the nurse who's like... deep, dark looks, red lipstick. Like, everyone's like, oh, Carol's gorgeous. She's Hollywood.
I've told you 1,000 times, Kelly. It's me in this house who decides who's hot or not. This is... should we just watch it real quick? The only podcast that peddles in all spoilers and no facts. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 114 years of ER school to be called doctor. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner is the Italian Gelden. She will rip your fucking arms off and then eat the remains. It is Kelly. Big whoop. Want to fight about it. For Stuka. Yeah. She is.
That's annoying. Nah, it's all right. Yeah,
it's my shout out to H.G. Nelson.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe you're talking. Hey, I just want to start the podcast today by letting everybody know that Kelly is quitting smoking. So if she's a little bit more edgy than usual, that's why.
Listen, I'm quitting smoking, but I never actually started in the first place. So I don't know how that even happens.
We both smoked on our wedding day and then there's been different journeys since.
I never smoked on my wedding day. I never smoked.
Maybe the day after.
I smoked the day before we left for our honeymoon, which is 2 days after our wedding. I had a cigarette and I was like, oh, that's disgusting. And then when we got there, I had a cigarette and it was great. And then ciggies were like really cheap, like $7 a pack.
Ciggies.
Ciggies in Japan were like $7 a pack. So I was like, well, they're practically forcing. I just got to go get some ciggies. They're just practically forcing me to smoke in this country. Like by making it $7 a pack. Yeah. So I did. And then when I got home, I was like, huh, this is fun. I remember this. I love doing this. And then I found a tobacco shop near my house that, I mean, is it mafia? I don't know. But they have really cheap cigarettes for cash. And I was buying cigarettes at $15 a pack. Listen, I can't, I don't know. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's all legit. I walk into a shop, ask for something, and everything's above board. So whatever.
Is it mafia? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more.
Is it the mob? Baby, don't hurt me.
Is it mob? This feeling I'm feeling.
It's interesting that you mentioned songs because the thing that we're going to talk about this week has a really specific song to it.
What song's that?
And I could not get it out of my head. Because the whole time I watched the movie, all I could think of was, so we watched Beverly Hills Cop, Axel Foley.
Oh, are we already going straight into?
No, well, I want to talk about what I want to talk about, whatever. Oh, fine. And that's, you know, there's that song that is the bum 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 bum.
It's the Beverly Hills Cop theme.
Yeah. And all I could think about, all I could think about was Peter Griffin. on Family Guy going,
I don't know what you're talking about.
And then another.
And then
it's
fucking
the point that he goes, and then another.
That's, and then I also couldn't stop thinking about the raccoon or whatever her name is. Australia's greatest breakdancer.
Ray Gun?
The Ray Shoe. The Ray.
Why were you thinking of Ray Gun?
Because there is a very funny TikTok where someone has spliced the footage of her dancing to Peter Griffin's voiceover.
And then another. See, my one was the one that I liked.
Should we talk about how fascinated we are by Ray Gun on the podcast?
The funniest bit about Ray Gun part was someone put a TikTok together where it was the I'm Janice and someone doing a flip. I'm Nora and I'm Dennis. Dude, that I feel like that's one
TikTok
of the funniest.
TikTok was the best place in the world to be for 2 days after Ray Gun did her thing at the Olympics.
She's getting slaughtered, man. She's getting slaughtered in the press.
Yeah.
Parents are getting like death threats.
Oh, death threats is insane.
Of course it's insane. Of course. People
who's
are insane.
Who's getting that upset about it?
No, she shouldn't have been there. It's a fucking Olympics, man.
Yeah.
Like,
hey,
only the rich are there.
Psst,
like, what?
Come here. Come closer to the podcast. The Olympics fucking suck. Everything about the Olympics fucking sucks. Why are you getting upset about it?
It's so fucked. Like, it's just, it's so.
This is a thing where, like, I mean, we're not a big enough podcast to worry about it, but other podcasts that I listen to, they literally can't say the name the Olympics.
Oh, because of copyright?
Yeah. You have to have bought the rights to be able to say the fucking word Olympics.
Mate,
this is the kind of organization we're dealing with. So I wouldn't worry about whether we've sent a qualified breakdancer to the most corrupt fucking thing on the face of the planet.
Like everyone's like different. Like she shouldn't have been there. Like I wish.
No one should have been there.
I wish that the outrage people felt about Ray Gun at the Olympics. I wish they would feel the same outrage for all the women that have been murdered by domestic violence this year.
Mm.
Because I tell you what, it didn't feel fucking equal.
Well, it's good that we could be joking around here when a woman was murdered not 2 weeks ago, just around the corner from here.
It's, well, this is the thing.
Well,
that's
happening on this podcast now. I'm turning it right
that's
around.
That's what's up, okay? Okay? I'm sick of this shit.
No, you're right. People, like, what people care about and get upset about
fucked.
Is so fucking trivial.
Like, it's so, and it's just like the media distracting people from the fact that it's $12 for a small block of cheese.
Yeah.
Like that, it's people, and people are like, did you see at the Olympics there was a boxer? Girl or boy, that's just, we don't know.
Well, everyone's eating pal for
dinner. Yeah, well, you're eating cat food for dinner. Not cat food, that's too expensive. But, you know, meanwhile, you can't afford to go to a dentist. Like, it's just fucked. So stop getting
giant
so distracted.
Abscess, like, coming out of their fucking mouth. But,
yeah,
you know,
stop getting
I'm
so
not worried
distracted,
about
you
the
sheeple.
Tumor coming out of my face. I'm pissed off about Ray Gun.
But I do love.
Did you say sheeple?
Yeah. I do love the.
Wake up, sheeple!
I do love the SNL sketch where they always like do the I'm Nora, I'm Janice, and putting it, and even to us when we bitch about our works.
Yeah.
Like, well, works, it's like, I'm Callie and I'm Dennis.
It's a Kristen Wiig character that's a bit.
She had a big snaggle too. Her forehead is way too high. She's got small hands.
She's got tiny little hands.
Yeah, and she's always really horny or something.
Essentially she's always with like three other attractive women.
Mm.
And she's the fourth beat of the joke. Because, you know, rule of fours comedy.
There you go.
So do we want to talk about what we're doing with the podcast?
We're not doing anything.
Forward? Well, we are going to change a couple of things.
No, we're not changing anything. It's
what are you talking about? We absolutely are changing things. It's people, going fortnightly rather than weekly.
Because we can't get the time to record.
It's too much. We're not enjoying it having to do it weekly. Like to have, like, especially if we watch a TV show, we got to watch like four or five episodes of something and then record and edit. And
it's more about the time because if you're doing nights, I'm in bed by the time you're...
I just don't have the time to
do it. I'm in bed. So we'll go for like 2 weeks where I'm already in bed when he gets home from work and then I'm working when he leaves work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, we just don't have the time. Yeah. It's time constraints and also it's making a... like, so trying to jam everything into like a tiny amount of time is making us start to resent the podcast, let's be honest. So we're going to make it fortnightly and it's already starting to feel more fun again. And we're not going to just do new stuff from now on.
Yeah, we're going to watch too. We didn't give a
whatever
shit.
The fuck we want. The name of the show is Should We Just Watch It Real Quick? Yep. That's the essence of the show, of like one of us showing the other one something.
I think we did new stuff because maybe it downloaded better. But look, just for an argument's sake, most likely I would very much like to do this next podcast is I made Damien watch the 90s movie Twister with Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton. And I really feel that the people want to hear a podcast about Twister. Because I remember watching it and it's so good. It's so good. It's terrible. It's a terrible film, but it's so good.
It's really bad.
And I want to talk about it. I think it's really bad.
Like, but it was fun to watch it.
Yeah.
It was, like, for me personally, I think why I probably get so grumpy about stuff is that there's a lot of stuff that I just would have no interest in watching whatsoever, but we choose to watch it because it's at the top of the charts on Netflix or Prime or whatever. And I just fucking resent that. So I'd rather us have fun and us talk about stuff that we love doing, even if it is something bad like Twister. Like, that was fun to watch that with you, even though it was...
Dude, well, I don't want to... I want to save it.
So bad. People talk about it like it's a classic film. It is not a classic film. Anyway, we'll talk about that on the next episode. Kelly also wants to do JFK. So this is the kind of stuff that we're talking about. Old films. Maybe we'll go back and watch some old TV shows or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It doesn't mean we won't do new stuff as well. That will happen, but it'll be more like stuff that we both want to watch so it's fun. And then also like we can have more fun conversations as well. We're not like... because we're not critics. We're not professional critics. I felt like we were starting to, like, take notes and do research and stuff. I just want to fuck around with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've been watching, rewatching ER, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I haven't been watching it, but it's not bad. Like, it seems like a perfect... I could see why people... kind of feels like the precursor of, like, the golden age of TV.
Right.
It's kind of like hour-long dramas. I mean, but then also, like, when you watch it, the structure of it isn't really that far removed from the dramatic moments of MASH.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I understand. But it's just because I guess the format of ER is... because it was Grisham, wasn't it? Written by Grisham? John Grisham, maybe?
ER. Maybe more Crichton or something. I don't know. Crichton. I actually don't know anything about ER.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've actually got it open here.
But to have... to follow the lives of a group of doctors and nurses working in an ER is a... it's a great... because the drama's already there. You don't have to write anything. I mean, obviously you have to write
Michael
the script.
Michael Crichton. Crichton.
Yeah, I thought it would be Crichton.
Is that Jurassic Park?
Yeah, he wrote Westworld, Jurassic Park, ER...
Congo. Shvia.
Congo is a bad Shvia. Film.
Disclosure. Lost Worlds. Mate, you wrote Jurassic Park. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm not as big a fan as Jurassic Park as you are.
Oh, Jurassic Park is so great. However, he has been married. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's been married 5 times. Look, that's a bit of a red flag for me.
Yeah.
That's a lot of weddings.
He's also like, I think he's passed away now, but before he passed away.
He did, yeah, 2008.
He became quite like anti-environmentalist of like, essentially like, it's not that bad. Everyone's, you know.
He was 6'9".
Yeah.
He's massive.
Yeah, supposedly it was quite like, you know, environmentalists are being over the top. We're fine. Da 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 ba 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 da ba ba do ba do. Stupid, stupid, stupid. I have been mainly been watching Bosch. But we've also been watching, I watched the whole season of Bosch actually when I was getting home late from work. It is such a good show, man. I don't like cop procedural. I'm not a cop show guy. I never watched NYPD Blue. I never watched like Law and Order stuff. I've never really watched cop shows. But I do like noir films, like about PIs and detectives and stuff. And there's just so much of that, like James Ellroy, like Raymond Chandler, like the early detective book authors in Bosch that just makes it super enjoyable. And it's got a lot of like, Tarantino kind of like coined this phrase of like a hangout movie with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You get to hang out in 60s Hollywood, you know, which is half the fun of the film. And I think like just hanging out, there's something really nice. I don't know why. I've been to LA twice and both times I've been there, I've loved it. I know most people don't like LA, especially people who live there are like, fuck this place. But I love LA and just being able to like, and they film everything on location. So you're traveling around LA all over the place with Bosch and there's something quite soothing for me with that. Like the stories are interesting. They're good detective stories. But just being able to like hang out in LA is cool as well.
I don't like LA.
I like LA a lot.
I think it's like Sydney.
I think you're like Sydney.
Well,
what do you mean by that? Plastic, fantastic.
Boring, hard to get around, sunny but not great weather, you know?
What do you mean not great weather?
Like, it's always bright in terms of it being a nice day.
That's good.
Yeah, don't like it.
Okay, well, I like LA a lot. I've watched some. We've been watching Penis or Pen 15. It's officially called Pen 15, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, Penis.
But like a joke.
That it's a really well written show. It's
real good, man.
It's
one of the best shows.
It is funny. It's definitely funny. Makes me laugh. But the human relationships between the two main girls in the show is what keeps you coming back, their friendship and trials and tribulations going through high school. It's if you haven't watched it, if you like Freaks and Geeks and you haven't watched Pen 15, you should definitely check it out because it is very similar and I would say it's better than Freaks and Geeks.
It's so fucking good. I feel really seen with this show. I just feel really seen. It really exemplifies my life as a kid, but like in the noughties, you know? Yeah, 100%. I'm down.
I've watched some films as well. I'll just bring them up on my little screen here.
And another.
How many episodes of Family Guy do you think you've watched?
I don't know. I really rewatched season 1 and 2. I was really into. And then after that, I don't know. I've probably dropped off. I don't know. That's a hard question to answer.
Oh, I've watched Foxy Brown starring Pam Grier. It's a 1974
Blaxploitation
film.
I studied at the university, actually.
Well, I didn't say I was the only person who's ever watched it. I just said I watched it this week.
Well, I'm glad that you're now finally joining the bandwagon, okay? Because I watched it 20 years ago and studied it for film. And now you're in. I mean, it's just so interesting that you just grab onto something 20 years after everyone else. Anyway, now you go.
What was your big thesis out of the film when you watched it?
Oh, we compared it to Jackie Brown.
Oh.
The Quentin thing.
Don't know who you're talking about. But yeah, did you get a HD?
No.
No.
I never got HDs because I was dumb.
Hard dick.
HD, I got a hard dick. Yeah. Miss, I got a hard dick.
Miss, there must be something wrong. There must be something wrong with my mark here because I should be getting a HD.
You can give me a D, but I got the HD right here.
Fart this morning that sounded exactly like the beginning of Revolution. No, sorry. It sounded like the beginning of Helter Skelter. Bam!
Bam! Bam! Bam! Come on, it's such a joy Take it easy.
It just came out of my bum. Was like, bam. I was like, whew, speed of light. Huh?
And the speed
and the
of
power
light.
Of stench.
Oh God, we're gross. We should probably at some point talk about the film we watched. But
what do you mean at some point? We're only 20 minutes into the podcast. We watched Beverly Hills Cop Axel F, or as it's otherwise known, or should have been known, Beverly Hills Cop 4. I don't like that about sequels now. Everything's like fucking Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol. Just put a number at the fucking
end. Put a fucking
ending.
Number there, dickheads, because
hey,
I don't know how order what the order is, okay?
Yeah, how am I meant to watch things in order if I don't know what the fucking
dude,
order
new
is?
Aliens come out and they do the same thing. Alien, Prometheus or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where in the timeline is this alien, for
where
fuck's sake?
Where in the timeline is it?
Well, where is it? Is it before the first one with Ripley?
I don't know.
Or is it the other one where they go to the Earth and see the, like...
Kelly, I don't know.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
I could not tell you what order the mission...
I had to Google it. I had to Google the timeline of it.
I couldn't tell you how many Mission Impossible films there are. I think 6, could be 9, could be 5. I don't know. And I don't know what order they're in.
You know who fucked that up?
Like, after 3, I don't know.
You know who fucked that up? Star Wars. They're to blame here. Because Star Wars was like, here's a Star Wars. And then they were like,
Star Wars.
Here's another Star Wars.
Here's a Star Wars.
It's a Return of the Jedi. Here's another Star Wars.
Star Wars.
New Hope, is that what it is? What's
Actually, it goes, fuck, I can't remember. Phantom Menace.
No,
Attack
old
of
school.
The Clones.
No, old school.
Revenge of the Sith. Then it goes A New Hope, which it wasn't actually called A New Hope until way later. It was called Star Wars.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the film, it says Chapter 4 and New Hope, but it was called Star Wars.
Well, they're just...
Then Empire Strikes Back, then Return of the Jedi.
I mean, at least with Die Hard 3, you know, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah.
Right? It's still 3.
Just put the number in there.
Put the number in there.
Mission Impossible 4 goes protocol. Right.
I understand why everyone's doing that. They love to, like, name it. Someone's getting the credit for it. It's too confusing.
It's too confusing. You got to keep it simple down here for us, all right?
I don't want...
On the factory floor. We don't know what's going on.
Even the new Ghostbusters. Because you know why? Because everything's a fucking prequel, schnequel, grenequel. So they can't do 4 because it's like, hang on, how could that be Ghostbusters 4
is a schnequel?
If it's actually set 4 years in the future or in the past? So
is a sneaker when they sneak a prequel out?
Yeah, they sneak it out. I'm like, when did this come out? Alien did that heaps and it pisses me off. So just give us the fucking numbers.
It's another fucking sneaker.
Yeah, but and you know why? Because they're doing so many prequels and shit like that, right? That's why. Because they can't have it because then it's not going to make sense if they number things. They have to name things. Maybe
but why wouldn't
if
it
you're
make
making
sense?
A
it
fucking.
It would make more sense with the numbers on it.
No, but you'd have to, if you're doing a prequel, like just say you got like a film, 1,
oh,
2, 3.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's
the fourth
fucking
one.
You're right. It is the fucking schneekles.
Yeah, it's the fucking schneekles. All the prequels. Listen, if you're making prequels, I'm going to tell you now
Freakles.
That it's fucking worthless. Everyone, Star Wars has, I blame Star Wars, a bit of the Marvel Universe. They love to do all these fucking prequels and sneak stuff in and the story's told. The story's over. It's done, right? Like Sex and the City needed to end when she got with Big and that was it. Like I would say even like maybe the movie, I was like, okay, that's fine. But this new thing of Sex and the City where Big is dead and she's getting back with Aiden, it doesn't feel right.
No.
It doesn't feel right. I feel like Sex and the City ended at the end of Sex and the City and that's it. Will and Grace tried to do it. Everyone's trying to reinvent.
You need to leave things alone.
Leave it alone.
The only way for it to not happen is if someone dies. You know what I mean?
Alone.
And even then, like the fucking Beatles got back together last year.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I guess this is a good thing about Beverly Hills Cop is that his daughter, who he doesn't have a relationship with, is a works as a defense lawyer. So at least we can have some kind of like, he doesn't live in Beverly Hills, she does, you know, and it kind of comes up through the film where, you know, she's just
they
like,
they came
we're
up
never
with
there.
A good premise as to why would Axel come back to Beverly Hills again?
Yeah.
for a fourth time.
Yeah, because he got a call from his old mate.
But they lent into like, well, he's got friends there because he's like gone on these three adventures beforehand. So if we put one of them in danger, then he'll definitely come back.
But the thing is, it was the ultimate danger for him because if it was one of his friends, it wasn't as much of a not risk. But what do you always say? People have to have a
stakes.
Yeah, The stakes wouldn't be that high. But his mate called him and went, "Hey, your daughter's defending this kid. The people that want this kid dead are really bad people. You need to go and check up on your daughter."
Yeah.
So the stakes for me that but was actually really good stakes. But then I also
felt like, who's the actor? Who I've forgotten everybody's names already.
Judge Reinhold.
Yeah, I felt like Judge Reinhold knew that, like, once Axel Foley got to Beverly Hills that he would stick around and help solve the case as well. Well, that he just, like, you know, his daughter was kind of in trouble because at the beginning of the film we see her basically get, like, hung off the side of a car park in her car by these dirty cops. Mm. I enjoyed this.
Yeah,
I enjoyed this film. It wasn't real. Like, there's something about Netflix stuff that is still not legitimate in my head. When I see the big red N on something, I'm like, it's probably going to be shit. Especially films.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
it's probably going to be shit.
Well, as much as like people were like, I really like The Irishman. It's like, well, this is the worst film Scorsese's made. Like, I don't know. I just don't think the quality of output from Netflix has been that good.
Mm.
But this is the third film we've done this year that is an action film that is relying on practical stunts, fun action sequences, like big set pieces.
Mm. And charismatic, nostalgia.
Charismatic leads.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the other two films weren't relying on nostalgia in The Fall Guy and The Gentlemanly Thing of Warfare or whatever. This is a bit, like, a lot of people would be coming to Beverly Hills Cop because they know it.
I'm dying.
But what do you mean you're dying?
Mentally, I'm breaking down. I'm dying.
Yeah.
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 Oh, God, why is life so hard?
Kelly has real emotional withdrawal from cigarettes.
Oh, God. It's like all the emotions that I've had for the last few weeks smoking. It's like every time I have a cigarette, I'm like, just push it down. Just push it down. And then the minute I stop, it's all bubbles up like a fucking Dante's Peak. There's nostalgia for you.
Yeah. Dante's dick.
Dante's dick coming out of me. Just like there's so much emotion where I'm just like, why are you talking to me? Shut up. I hate wearing clothes. I'm cold. It is. Seals used to call it the bipolar coaster.
Anyway, I was really impressed with it. I thought the story was good. I thought all the actors were good. Kevin Bacon was good as the bad guy. But the most impressive thing was they just let Eddie Murphy be Eddie Murphy, and he's going to make anything watchable for a couple of hours. And I thought that's what happened here.
There was a few fun laughs in it. One of my big laughs was, I can't remember, he was in the car, I think maybe with Paul Reiser, and he's like, he's dropping him off, and there's like a door woman, what do the people call that get your bag?
Concierge.
Yeah, whatever, like a black chick.
Bellboy.
Bellboy, at the front of the hotel, and he's giving fun at, like he was shitting on Paul Reiser, and he turns around and goes to her, you know we're the same age? We are the same age. And I'm like, to me that was super funny because it was true.
Yeah.
And he's like, look at me and look at him. What do you think happened? She's like, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Like, it was gorgeous because there was something about that. It was just the way that he delivered that was just
Reiser so, and Eddie Murphy had really good chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, they really
always
funny.
They always have in those films. But there was also kind of nice to see, like, a softening. Like, I mean, they were always kind of friends, but there was more of a boss detective relationship between the two of them.
You know,
but in this film,
yeah,
in this film, they're both like the two old guys at the station, you know?
Yeah.
And they've been through a lot. They've been through another 20 years of working together. So they're like, they're friends. They care about each other. Yeah. You know, like,
you know who was really good in this film? Who I actually really rate highly? Jordan Gordon-Levitt.
Is it Jason Gordon?
Joseph.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
He's good, man.
He's good in this.
It took me a second to recognize him because he's like kind of tall and skinny and had like a little beard and that. And I'm like, oh, this is exactly how you would look if I met you in real life, because I feel like, I don't know, like,
he hasn't had any work done or anything. Like, no. He just looked like a normal dude. Like, you know, handsome enough, but like,
and it was just like, yeah, I really rate him. And then you think he's a child actor. And he's made some really, really good decisions.
Yeah.
With his career.
This cast is strong. What's the name of the actor who played Axel's daughter?
I looked her up. Her name's like Taylor Page. She used to be a like New York Knicks cheerleader.
Really?
Yeah. And she's
because she was pretty good in this.
Yeah, she's been in a bunch of stuff, but nothing that nothing that we've watched. You know what I mean? Like, she's kind of newish to the scene. But, yeah, she did great. But I don't know, something about Jordan Gordon. Like, he is – you look through his, like, you know, filmology, except for 500 Days of Summer, which is absolutely disgusting. But, like, he did – he's done heaps of films, like, way, way, way past 10 Things I Hate About You. Like, he's done some interesting choices. Like, he's done a bit of TV and that kind of stuff. Anyway, he was really good in it, and I think he had a really good character. And the way that he conversed with, like, there was that really, because again, there was some really funny moments when they're at the police station and she comes to see Eddie Murphy or Axel Foley, and you know, her and Joseph are like at the door and they're like, oh, hey, oh, yes, my dad, that's your dad. And just it goes quiet. It goes all quiet, and then Axel Foley just goes, did you have intercourse with my daughter? And it made me laugh so much because obviously there was a bit of sexual tension and you were expecting him to go, oh, what happened there, ex-boyfriend? But just like the silence that they let happen, and him go, did you have intercourse with my daughter? It was, and the thing is, that's not even a funny line, but Eddie Murphy can make it work.
Yeah, it makes it work.
He really makes it work. Eddie Murphy's really fun to watch with stuff like this.
He's great in this. We should probably wrap it up because we've got a hard out and we're at...
This is why I wanted to talk about the movie earlier when you were fuffing on about your hard dick.
We talked about... Look, my hard dick's more important than talking about this movie.
Right.
And it wasn't my hard dick. It was a character's hard dick.
That's true.
A number of grumps are we giving this fantastic movie? Axel F. Yeah, I'm going to give it 3 grumps out of 5 as well.
Wasn't the best thing. Actually, you know what?
I'll give it 3.5. I'll give it 3.5. Mm. But the extra half a star goes for the practical effects and real stunts.
Man, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. This kid's the best. This kid has got the best. Thanks for listening.
We love you. We appreciate it. We've got a hard out, Stokes. We've got to go. We appreciate you listening and telling people about it. If there's anything in the history of time that you want us to watch, let us know. We can now do it because we've changed the parameters of the show. But it'll still essentially be the same old show, just us talking shit, saying hi every couple of weeks. But we love you. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Ha ha ha.